B-Pod Studios.
In the 1970s, smoking was a normal part of American life. So no one ever imagined that a small town idea would be the catalyst for national change. It all started in 1971 when Arthur Mullaney of Randolph, Massachusetts, asked his neighbors to try giving up cigarettes for just one day. In 1974, the town of Monticello, Minnesota, followed suit when the local newspaper organized the state's first Don't Smoke Day to spotlight smoking's health risks and encourage people to quit. Word continued to spread west, and on November 18, 1976, the American Cancer Society's California division convinced nearly 1 million smokers to quit for the day. The following year, the society took the event nationwide, and it officially became known as the Great American Smokeout. Since then, Smokeout has become one of the Society's most successful and recognizable events, and it's still going strong today. Every year, on the third Thursday of November, smokers across the country decide to give up cigarettes for good and take one of the most important steps towards living longer, healthier lives. Through nationwide events like the Great American Smokeout, we're helping millions of Americans quit smoking so they can stay well and celebrate more birthdays.
What? Tell you about this a little bit. The tobacco wars going on in Congress and the lawsuits.
Been in the news a lot.
Been in the news an awful lot. And what we're always hearing is one side. You're not really hearing a whole hell of a lot from big tobacco.
Yeah, they've been pretty closed mouth about it.
Well, earlier today, a representative for big tobacco, his name is Larry Nichols, came in to the studios to speak with our own Rick Peterson and give the other side of the story.
As you know, tobacco has been in the news lately. A lot of states around the country are suing tobacco companies. We have Larry Nichols, who is a spokesperson for Big Tobacco, in the studio with us. Good afternoon, Mr. Nichols.
Good afternoon to you.
Now, Mr. Nichols, you are claiming that tobacco does not cause health problems. Is that right?
That is correct, and you may be aware that these lawsuits are going on all over the country and are trying to make tobacco the scapegoat for their failed medical health care system.
Now, Mr. Nichols, are you a smoker yourself?
Yes, I am, have been for 45 years.
No, please forgive me for bringing this up, but I can't help but notice that you are speaking through a hole in your neck. Is there any?
Yes, I had some health problems and had to undergo a laryngectomy.
Now, was that a result of smoking for 4 decades?
No. Completely unrelated.
Mr. Nichols, could you maybe do me a favor and just move the microphone down a little bit toward your neck so we can hear you a bit?
Is that better?
That's fine. Thank you. Now, how can you possibly state that smoking does not cause health problems? I mean, hasn't smoking been proven to cause cancer and problems with lung and heart disease?
These are my biased stories concocted to bring big tobacco to its knees. Scapegoat.
We will have more with Larry Nichols, spokesperson for Big Tobacco, a little bit later on.
Find that very
informative.
Yes.
Nice job, Rick.
Tobacco in the news lately. A lot of states suing tobacco companies for health reasons. However, Mr. Nichols, Larry Nichols, a spokesperson for Big Tobacco, is in the studio with us. And Mr. Nichols' claim is that tobacco has absolutely nothing to do with bad health. Is that correct, Mr. Nichols?
That is absolutely 100% correct.
Now, you have been a smoker your entire life. Is that correct?
45 years.
And you did have your larynx removed. Is that correct?
By voice box. Yes.
And, but that was not related to smoking.
Not in any way, shape, or.
Now, what do you say about the claims that Big Tobacco is attempting to gear their advertising toward children?
That is patently false, untrue. What we do is simply to attempt brand loyalty in teenagers who already smoke.
Now, since your operation, I can't help but notice that you are speaking out of a hole in your throat.
Yes.
Now, since your operation, do you still have a desire to smoke?
I still smoke now.
Would you care for a cigarette now? Would you like to light up?
Yes.
There you go.
Feel free to light up.
Go right ahead.
Thanks.
We have been speaking with Larry Nichols, spokesman for Big Tobacco.
That hit the spot. Thank you.
You're welcome. We will be back with more with Mr. Nichols in just a little bit.
Very informative. I'm glad we have a chance to hear the other side. Did you? I don't know. I didn't see Larry when he was down here.
No, I got in late today. We are speaking with Larry Nichols, spokesperson for Big Tobacco. Tobacco in the news lately. And Mr. Nichols, with all these states who are filing claims against tobacco companies, should tobacco, the tobacco companies that you represent, are they going to cave into the pressure and come up with some kind of settlement, or are you going to fight this in the court system?
No. American way is the courts, and they will ultimately be the judge as to what direction this will go.
Now, you've been a smoker your whole life, is it right?
Ever since I was 10 years old.
And it has not affected you? Is that your claim?
No.
Now, the fact that you're speaking from a hole in your throat, that has nothing to do with the fact that you've been a smoker your whole life?
Not anything remotely to do with it.
Now, would you be willing to testify in court that smoking did not cause you any harm?
I haven't been asked to.
Well, hypothetically, would you be willing to take the stand and testify?
That's a question that I don't have to answer.
Well, I'm not trying to paint you into a corner. I'm just saying, here you are, a spokesperson for tobacco, and you claim that smoking has not affected your health. Is that right?
No, none whatsoever. You are more likely to be hit by a car than to have health problems from smoking.
We've been speaking with Larry Nichols, spokesperson for Big Tobacco.
Very important subject, and I'm glad we addressed it here on this show.
Agree or disagree, the man has a right to be heard.
And, yeah, and a right to say his side of the story. And, of course, he represents Big Tobacco.
In the 1970s, smoking was a normal part of American life. So no one ever imagined that a small-town idea would be the catalyst for national change. It all started in 1971 when Arthur Mullaney of Randolph, Massachusetts, asked his neighbors to try giving up cigarettes for just one day. In 1974, the town of Monticello, Minnesota, followed suit when the local newspaper organized the state's first Don't Smoke Day to spotlight smoking's health risks and encourage people to quit. Word continued to spread west, and on November 18, 1976, the American Cancer Society's California division convinced nearly 1 million smokers to quit for the day. The following year, the society took the event nationwide, and it officially became known as the Great American Smokeout. Since then, Smokeout has become one of the Society's most successful and recognizable events, and it's still going strong today. Every year, on the third Thursday of November, smokers across the country decide to give up cigarettes for good and take one of the most important steps towards living longer, healthier lives. Through nationwide events like the Great American Smokeout, we're helping millions of Americans quit smoking so they can stay well and celebrate more birthdays.
Well, tell you about this a little bit. The tobacco wars going on in Congress and the lawsuits.
Been in the news a lot.
Been in the news an awful lot. And what we're always hearing is one side. You're not really hearing a whole hell of a lot from Big Tobacco.
Yeah, they've been pretty close-mouthed about it.
Well, earlier today, a representative for Big Tobacco, his name is Larry Nichols, came in to the studios to speak with our own Rick Peterson and give the other side of the story.
As you know, tobacco has been in the news lately. A lot of states around the country are suing tobacco companies. We have Larry Nichols, who is a spokesperson for Big Tobacco, in the studio with us. Good afternoon, Mr. Nichols.
Good afternoon to you.
Now, Mr. Nichols, you are claiming that tobacco does not cause health problems. Is that right?
That is correct, and you may be aware that these lawsuits are going on all over the country and are trying to make tobacco a scapegoat for their failed medical health care system.
Now, Mr. Nichols, are you a smoker yourself?
Yes, I am, have been for 45 years.
No, please forgive me for bringing this up, but I can't help but notice that you are speaking through a hole in your neck. Is there any?
Yes, I had some health problems and had to undergo a laryngectomy.
Now, was that a result of smoking for 4 decades?
No. Completely unrelated.
Mr. Nichols, could you maybe do me a favor and just move the microphone down a little bit toward your neck so we can hear you a bit?
Is that better?
That's fine. Thank you. Now, how can you possibly state that smoking does not cause health problems? I mean, hasn't smoking been proven to cause cancer and problems with lung and heart disease?
These are my biased stories concocted to bring Big Tobacco to its knees. Scapegoat.
We will have more with Larry Nichols, spokesperson for Big Tobacco, a little bit later on.
Find that very informative.
Very informative. Yes. Nice job, Rick.
Tobacco in the news lately. A lot of states suing tobacco companies for health reasons. However, Mr. Nichols, Larry Nichols, a spokesperson for Big Tobacco, is in the studio with us. And Mr. Nichols' claim is that tobacco has absolutely nothing to do with bad health. Is that correct, Mr. Nichols?
That is absolutely 100% correct.
Now, you have been a smoker your entire life. Is that correct?
45 years.
And you did have your larynx removed. Is that correct?
My voice box. Yes.
And but that was not related to smoking.
Not in any way, shape, or form.
Now, what do you say about the claims that Big Tobacco is attempting to gear their advertising toward children?
That is patently false, untrue. What we do is simply to attempt brand loyalty in teenagers who already smoke.
Now, since your operation, I can't help but notice that you are speaking out of a hole in your throat.
Yes.
Now, since your operation, do you still have a desire to smoke?
I still smoke now.
Would you care for a cigarette now? Would you like to light up?
Yes.
There you go. Feel free to light up.
Go right ahead.
Thanks.
We have been speaking with Larry Nichols, spokesman for Big Tobacco.
That hit the spot. Thank you.
You're welcome. We will be back with more with Mr. Nichols in just a little bit.
Very informative. I'm glad we have a chance to hear the other side. I don't know. I didn't see Larry when he was down here.
No, I got in late today. We are speaking with Larry Nichols, spokesperson for Big Tobacco. Tobacco in the news lately. And Mr. Nichols, with all these states who are filing claims against tobacco companies, should tobacco, the tobacco companies that you represent, are they going to cave into the pressure and come up with some kind of settlement, or are you going to fight this in the court system?
No. Yeah. American way is the courts, and they will ultimately be the judge as to what direction this will go.
Now, you've been a smoker your whole life, is it right?
Ever since I was 10 years old.
And it has not affected you? Is that your claim?
No.
Now, the fact that you're speaking from a hole in your throat, that has nothing to do with the fact that you've been a smoker your whole life.
Not anything remotely to do with it.
Now, would you be willing to testify in court that smoking did not cause you any harm?
I haven't been asked to.
Well, hypothetically, would you be willing to take the stand and testify?
That's a question that I don't have to answer.
Well, I'm not trying to paint you into a corner. I'm just saying, here you are, a spokesperson for tobacco, and you claim that smoking has not affected your health. Is that right?
No, none whatsoever. You are more likely to be hit by a car than to have health problems from smoking.
We've been speaking with Larry Nichols, spokesperson for Big Tobacco.
Very important subject, and I'm glad we addressed it here on this show.
Agree or disagree, the man has a right to be heard.
And a right to say his side of the story. And, of course, he represents Big Tobacco.
Hey, Rock, hello, you're on the air.
Hi, can I please talk to Stan?
Yes, this is Stan.
Okay.
How old are you?
10.
And your dad's making you call, isn't he?
No, I call because I'm mad at you because you won't put my dad on the air.
Well, put your dad on the phone.
Yeah, put your dad on the phone.
Daddy, he wants to talk to you. And I'm telling you, he is not putting me up to this.
Okay, right.
You're a good girl. Put your daddy on the phone.
You're a good girl. I'm not going to talk to you about this. I want to talk to your dad.
How rude.
What the? Hello?
Yeah.
Hey, you know, boy, that takes some gall to get your kid to go and call in to get you on the radio.
I didn't get her to do it.
That is an absolute shame.
Who is this?
This is Joe.
Joe, my name is Mark Haney, and Stan tells me that there's been something going on. I'm not up to speed on it. We've slighted you in some way?
No, I'm one of your favorite fans. I called in, and I told you guys how much my wife finally laughed. Right. Finally, she never liked you. I've been a fan of yours for 2 years.
How many years? Two?
About two, yeah.
Do you feel that you were treated shabbily by Stan? Because I wasn't in the room. I don't know what happened.
Did I treat you shabbily, or did I not talk to you and your lovely wife? And thank you both for your kind hospitality.
Joe, think of me like the manager at the restaurant whenever you're having a problem with the waiter. I'm here to make it right, because on this show, there's only one rule. Actually, there are two. The listener is always right. And number two, if you ever question that, refer back to rule one.
Will you stop with that? So, Mark.
Joe, I apologize if you've had a problem there with Stan, but I want to make it right.
Mark?
Look at you. The kid crying. Now the kid's crying.
Stan, I think you've done enough.
Why is she crying?
I want to be my daddy.
my goodness.
Oh, look what happened now.
She wanted to hear her daddy on the air.
We're gonna make things right here, sweetheart. Don't cry about it.
All right.
What? How has Stan slighted you? What can we do?
Hello.
Southwest Florida, sure have a wonderful time. I feel as high as that Australian pine. Now I'm sweating my friggin' ass off in that Southwest Florida heat, but I'm loving all the people that I get to meet. You got to tune your radio on, now listen to me. We got that powerful stuff that'll knock you off. Fort Myers, all the radios are on. All over Southwest Florida, you know it can't be wrong. From Marco to Fort Charlotte, they all heard the news. They say 2 o'clock, time to light the fuse. Stan and Haney, Stan and Haney, Stan and Haney, all afternoon. The best in local radio that there's ever been. Show it so damn good, it makes the Pope wanna sin. The fell out to the beaches, people laugh out loud. Got the show that draws flies and a bit of a crowd. Stand and hit it. To us once, then you're gonna listen twice. Got up way too damn early for too damn long. Back in the afternoon, that's where we belong. Stan and Haney, Stan and Haney, Stan and Haney, all afternoon.
Place in Southwest Florida where drunken idiots and law enforcement actually get along. Stan and Haney on 96 K-Rock.
Hey, everybody. Stan and Haney, Thursday edition of the Stan and Haney Show. Thank you for being along. There's my buddy Haney over there sitting to my front right. Directly in front of me through the glasses is Rob. He's behind glass.
Well, I'm looking at impeachment hearings day 40.
Yeah, I am. It's up on the monitor.
And my observations today, Stan, tell me if I'm wrong.
Is that Dr. Hill is a very attractive older woman.
No, my actual thought was that today seems to be opposite day where the women all look like men and the men are all very effeminate.
The guy is very effeminate.
And she's got a very strong jawline.
She's got, Haney, strong features.
And the lady questioning her.
Ms. Sewell.
Very masculine.
With a wig.
So I'm very confused by all this.
Yes, Congressman Sewell is questioning, and she's got a long, flowing black wig on.
Oh, jeez.
I want to stop the rumors from going around this building right now, because a few people walked into the office today during my lunch break. And yes, I was eating a Popeye's chicken sandwich. No, I did not go out today to get it. I had my wife get extra so I can have one today. Now, I think I got this.
You expect me to be an enabler, don't you?
I know. I think I got this nailed. I wanted to find out, because you've asked it yourself, who's not hooked on these things.
I'm the only one that's not.
What is
it? Anybody else that has taken a single bite of these things,
yeah.
I ate two of them,
yeah.
And I'm not affected by it.
I've lost count.
I am not affected by them. Now, my view when I was presented with a Popeye's chicken sandwich was, that's not a bad sandwich. I'm going to go about my business now.
It's a damn good sandwich. It's a damn good sandwich.
From the first time that Stan and Rob took a bite of this effing sandwich,
yeah,
all they're
sandwich.
Thinking about is where the next one's coming from.
You have to admit, Rob, it's like a meal.
It is. I've left work to go get them.
Now, wait a second.
And he's already realized he's in deeper than you are, because he realizes that it's the pickles that get him.
Yeah, every bite. Perfect what?
Perfect pickle placement.
Now, I think I got this figured out, because I dissected it today. You know what it is? I'm going to tell you what it is about that sandwich.
Did you dissect or did you bifurcate?
I didn't bifurcate. I dissected.
All right.
I destructed the sandwich.
You deconstructed.
Deconstruct.
Well, destruction means you're just tearing it up for no reason.
Well,
deconstruction means you're looking at it analytically.
I deconstructed it.
Yeah, but you didn't. There was no bifurcation.
None whatsoever. I'll state that unequivocally.
Because I know you've in the past been accused of bifurcation.
You know what it is? I'm going to tell you what it is with the sandwich. Two things. Because I went and looked at everything. Here, you look at this sandwich. Seriously. You look at the sandwich. There is a large, and I mean extra large, full breast of chicken that is breaded.
I found it to be a little stringy.
You must have gotten a bad one.
You picked them out.
Tender.
You're the one that...
You grabbed your own.
No, you distributed them.
I just took them out of the bag. So here, but here's the thing. You got that chicken and you got the breading on it. They put on pickles. Perfect pickle placement. And they put a little mayo on the chicken. And I'm like...
Oh, on the chicken or on the bun?
Well, it's on the bun, but there's so much on it that when you take the bun off, when I deconstructed the chicken...
With no bifurcation taking place whatsoever.
There, the mayonnaise was in every nook and cranny.
So that
is
accompanying the perfect pickle placement. You're also getting optimal mayonnaise coverage.
It holds the pickles in place. Now so I
I see it's a top and bottom mayonnaise.
Yes, it's liberally applied,
and that's acting as almost like a form of mortar for the pickles to the chicken.
They don't move. I'll tell you that. I bite right into it. That pickle ain't coming sliding out. It's breaking off. And at any rate,
what was that picture you had up there, Rob? I know there was KFC, Popeyes, and what is that? Jujubes?
Yeah, what is that? I've never heard of that place.
Jollibee? I've never heard of that.
But you can see the dominance of the Popeyes.
Well, it's camera angle.
It isn't. I found out why they're so good.
Because of your deconstruction.
Yeah.
With no bifurcation whatsoever.
Correct. Number one, the breading. The breading, when you just break off a piece of that breading.
Oh, it's a fried chicken breast.
It is a savory breading on it that I don't know what they add to it, but the breading.
That's like Popeye's chicken. That's what they're known for.
The most important thing, though, on the chicken sandwich?
Mayonnaise or pickles?
Nope. The bread. You know why? I broke off a piece of the bread. I said, let's...
You deconstructed the bread
as
well.
Yeah, I broke off a piece of the bread. I said, let me taste... Because a lot of it is the consistency and the texture of the bun. And then I'm like, but what is more? What's more about this bun?
So even you are wondering why you're hooked on this sandwich.
Oh, I got a problem. The bread, the bun, they put sugar in it. It is a sweet...
The like bread, a Hawaiian roll.
Not as prominent as the Hawaiian, like a King's Hawaiian.
Mm-hmm. I'm familiar with it, sir.
Yes. Thank you. But it is a sweetened bread. So you get that salty, savory breading and that sweet bread on there.
And that goes straight to the brainstem.
Right directly to the brainstem. It creates an immediate like. I mean, it's not like the bread and the breading on it. Bread and breading is what does that. I'm telling you, you break off a piece of that bread. If you just went to Popeye's and ordered a loaf of buns that go on the chicken sandwich.
You wouldn't need a chicken sandwich.
You wouldn't need it. You'd be eating that bread like it's going out of style. You'd be buying it by the truckload. It's the bread.
And so the pickles are merely a distraction.
Pickles add that little bit of saltiness to it, too.
But Rob doesn't know what it is that's got him addicted. He thinks it's the pickles.
It
but
adds
he's wrong.
To it. Well, I don't know. What do you like about the pickles?
The crunchiness. They're just always fresh.
They are a fresh pickle.
Fresh pickle.
It's not a droopy pickle.
Would it be the same if you were to apply a different bun?
I did not. I don't know. I didn't. The guy online once said you reverse engineered it. I haven't reverse engineered it yet. I got to try that.
Did you bifurcate anything?
I did not.
All right.
It's the bun. It's the bun. I want somebody to get us a bag of buns from Popeyes.
Would it surprise you if there were opioids involved with the bun?
Something quite addictive in there. I wouldn't say opioids. I'd say good old American Southern cane sugar.
I don't understand, and I haven't understood it from the beginning, is good for Popeyes. For some reason, they never offered a chicken sandwich in their entire history going back to the 70s.
I don't know.
So they offer a chicken sandwich.
Yeah.
And stock their restaurants with what they think is a 3-month supply.
Yeah. And then they sell out of it.
And it's so popular that they sell out on the first day. Why can they not resupply for so many months? It seems to be such a simple thing.
Well,
they have chicken at their restaurants available, but for a long time they couldn't make a chicken sandwich.
I'm going to give you an example. I'm going to tell you why. And then I got to desperately take a break.
I'm sorry to hear that.
Yeah. Do you know how, like, when we have a giveaway to give away, and they say, you're allotted one of these a month, but you and I get crazy, and we give them all away in the first 5 days of the we don't get any back until the following
that's
month.
No, that's different because we're giving something away that that we have a budget for. They're selling an item that's in demand. That's a different thing.
You gotta make them.
Well, why couldn't they make them?
Takes time.
What is it? What is in the chicken sandwich that took 3 months to resupply?
Look, if I knew that, I would have had them make up a special batch for me beforehand. They had to go and create it back again. It is unique.
Why is it so difficult to come by?
I don't know. You're immune to it.
It doesn't affect me.
So you ask these questions. I'm just so glad
it's
back.
It just looks to me like a piece of chicken on a bun with some pickles and mayonnaise.
I would...
Why, if people are wanting to buy that, why wouldn't you get them into the stores? What's so hard to come by?
If they had 3 sandwiches left, and there was a woman with a baby stroller, I'd push him to the ground to get it. We'll be back.
We, the management of Beasley Media Group, would like to thank Stan and Haney for decades of dedication to this radio station.
Our pleasure.
We would like to.
What?
But we won't. Stan and Haney, 96 K-Rock.
Well, something.
Yeah. Hey, everybody. Stan and Haney, thank you for tuning in this afternoon. Thursday edition. That means we're going to give you a chance to win in about an hour. We'll play Stan's What's on the List. We'll go over prizes in a little bit. Later on today, our question of the week. Well, we'll pose the question and then open up the phone lines, and you guys will give us your responses. It's not a yes or no answer. It's your answer, and it's the right answer. But in the meantime...
It's a rare thing.
What?
When no matter what you say, you're correct.
It's the correct thing. It's not a yes or no thing. It's your memory. Grab bag. This afternoon, brought to you by the Pewter Mug North, US 41 in North Naples. Oh, a very special Stan and Haney celebrity photo today from 1994. Haney and I with Kermit Shine Forbes and Captain Tony.
Oh, jeez.
Look at that. That goes back a long, long time. 25 years.
That goes back 25 years, and the guys that we're talking to, they are the history of Key West,
yep.
Going back way before that.
They, both of those guys were well into their 80s.
Captain Tony, I think a lot of people know who Captain Tony is, but the guy next to him, our buddy Shine, he was a sparring partner of Ernest Hemingway.
Yep. Hemingway was refereeing a boxing match that he was in Key West, I want to say in the 30s, 1930s. And I guess Shine was, matter of fact, I think Shine was working a corner for somebody, came out and tried to rough up Ernest Hemingway. And Hemingway said, come on over to my place tomorrow. We'll have the ring set up and go a few rounds with you.
And Shine was all that ropey kind of muscle.
Yep.
Not the muscle-bound type, but the type that can move.
I'll tell you right now, because there's a picture floating around of he and I in a boxing stance together. That man was in his 80s, and you knew just by shaking his hand or putting your arm around him, he could still hurt you.
Easily.
Easily. Still hurt you. So there's the picture up on 96K Rock's website.
For his age, he was like 20 years younger mentally and physically.
He was something. Had one eye.
But that didn't slow him down.
No, it did not.
You know, we've told the story so many times, but it bears repeating. Because after this picture was taken, Stan and I, Shine says, well, why don't you guys come over to my house? So we went over and we hung out at Shine's for a little while, and he was telling us about where he lived and the history of the building he was in.
Yeah.
And then he goes, well, you guys thirsty? We're a lot younger then. Hell yeah, Shine. Well, come on. Let's head across around the corner to the bottle cap.
Yep. And only two white guys in the place.
Yep. We go in this bar. There's nobody else in there because it's around noon. And it's in a neighborhood. It's not Duval Street. And it's the three of us at the bar. We order up some beers. And the owner of the bar comes out and goes, oh, I heard you were in here, Shine. You still interested in that job? Yes, sir. And as we're listening, you know, not trying to eavesdrop or anything, but they're talking about it. And he's going, yeah, I don't know what all you're going to need, but man, that's got to be done. That roof ain't going to fix itself, yep. Shine. I mean, it's an 80-year-old yep. man that's going to fix the roof.
Yep. Leave us something. If you go to the Ernest Hemingway house and take the tour of the Hemingway house, you'll see a nice little monument at the Hemingway house now to Kermit Shine Forbes.
And what a gentleman.
Yep.
He was just a terrific guy.
Today is the Great American Smokeout.
People are stressing me out, and I can't smoke.
You should give up smoking.
Give them up. I enjoy smoking.
Smoke them if you got them.
Not today.
Not today.
Because it's the Great American Smokeout.
Weren't you supposed to give up smoking?
Giving up smoking is one of the hardest things you'll ever have to do.
Well, I can give up smoking. I can give up whenever I want. Look, see? Don't need them.
Just stay away from the coffee.
You need a copious amount of coffee to keep me awake.
It's showtime.
Yeah. Penny and I are honoring it right now. We'll break it in about 10 minutes.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, a special feature on the show. I call it the impeachment zinger of the day.
C-SPAN presents the impeachment hearings zinger of the day. This time from Gordon Sondland, U.S. Ambassador to the EU.
Mr. Tim Morrison came in yesterday, and his deposition testimony, as well as yesterday, disparaged you too. He called you the Gordon problem.
That's what my wife calls me.
That was C-SPAN's impeachment hearings zinger of the day.
Yeah, there it is.
You know, it's so weird now because things have gone so far. The old rules are out the window. And
it's all about hurt feelings now.
I was listening to, I'm almost positive it was Lindsey Graham, you know, senator. He's been a senator a long time, very distinguished, a leader in the party. And he's going, yeah, that Sondland guy, yeah, they got to him. They're boycotting his hotels. They're picking on his family. So now he's going to presume this. Well, it doesn't change the facts.
If you are a couple, husband and wife, I don't know, whatever it is today, and you're looking to buy a home, this is usually a fun thing to do on the weekends, is you go to open houses. You'll see a sign, open house, and you, oh, let's go.
Oh, look, Plantation Acres. Yep. Acres is open.
Let's take a look. Yeah. And, you know, you'll walk in there and have the smell of fresh baked cookies. Now, a lot of times
look at this. I could put a pool table in here, except I'll never, ever buy a pool table, but that would be a great room for it.
A lot of times the real estate agent is in there, and they're showing you the house for the open house, but people are still living in the house. And you'll see Ma or Pa sitting in a chair as you're getting a little tour through the house. Well, this is what was going on in Sacramento, California. An open house.
That's always nice when there's someone sitting in another room and, you know, your wife loudly starts criticizing their decorating.
Well, it happens. Or you steal. A couple near Sacramento, California went to an open house on Saturday and acted like potential buyers. But the security cameras caught them going into the woman's freezer and stealing ice cream. And evidently, this isn't the first time this open house couple have been doing stuff like this.
It showed this couple walking into the garage, opening several cabinets, and then the female opening the refrigerator door, taking out something, putting it in her large handbag. Well, when I found out what it was, I was really shocked because I was like, seriously? You're taking ice cream? When I shared it on social media, a lot of agents reached out to me and said that they recognized the couple.
There have been two instances that I know of in addition to the one that just happened this past weekend.
Yeah, take full advantage.
It's pathetic.
Living vicariously through your kids. How many times do we have to see parents getting involved in youth sports and getting involved into fights? And
I don't understand it.
Neither do I. An umpire, and you're going to have to listen carefully to this, an umpire at a youth baseball game asked parents to stop harassing him. They were calling out balls and strikes. But they kept on doing it. And then one asked if he's mad because the kids are taller than him. Now we get into physical attributes.
Look, here comes the bagel boss.
That was the last. Yep, that was the last straw. The umpire just left.
I'm not hearing another word of anyone.
Then be mad.
No, wait a second. Did you just hear me? Yeah, I heard you. Okay, do you want to have a game here?
Baseball game.
Hey, stay professional for the kids and just do your job.
Come on.
That's it.
Come on.
Do you
mad
because
the kids are taller than you?
It could both ways.
Ridiculous.
I didn't fall for 5 minutes before I drove anywhere.
Terrible.
Yeah, what a jerk. You guys being a jerk.
You know what? He moves like, is that guy's name John Ross?
Very similar.
All angry.
Yeah. Have any of you guys been on a jet plane recently?
Yes. I have. A friend had a wedding in Las Vegas, mm-hmm. and I was on a plane for that.
You have on the plane, and I believe this. If you select the window seat, you have control of the shade. Some people, like a fat Tony or a small child, like to look out the window.
No, you're talking about, you know, someone that's mentally deficient.
Yeah, or too young. But you might be flying for the first time. You want to go and look out the window. Other times, especially if you have a morning flight, the plane takes off, gets above the clouds, and that sun is just
bright.
Yep. Someone filmed this as two passengers on a plane started fighting over should the window shade on the plane window be up or down. And both of them took action.
Stop. We can open.
Can you please show me? Sir.
See and open, right?
Please, can you show me?
It's
okay, he's got something to say. I want this down.
And there they are fighting back and forth over the weather, the window's up or down.
Oh, they're not side by side.
No,
there's one
behind,
in front and one
yeah,
in back.
Yeah.
They both can get to it equally easily.
This is
I think on him.
And probably more.
Yeah.
Oh, no, the guy behind him wants it closed.
No, the guy behind him wants it open.
No, we're looking at the back of his seat.
Oh, I got you. Okay. He's got his own window.
Yep.
And it's open.
But the glare's coming in, ain't
he? Oh, for... I would love to just... You know, at that point,
yep.
I think there should be another member of the flight crew on all airplanes... That is wearing a hockey jersey with an A on it, and when you see him coming down the aisle,
yeah,
you know you're going to have to drop the mitts.
I want you and I to think about
this. How can adults act like that?
It's ridiculous. They're kids. Whether it's a kid's game or fighting over a window or getting a chicken sandwich. We have another month to go in this year, and then we, the world, start a new decade.
Oh, like we need that.
Yeah. We've been here at the K in the 90s, the aughts, the teens, and now we'll be cross our fingers into the 20s.
We were here in the early 90s.
Yeah, I know.
It was barely the 90s.
Experts have put together a list of what they think the songs that came out in this decade are guaranteed to stand the test of time. These are the songs they believe will be around forever. And they were the ones from this past decade. You be the judge.
I prefer the original.
Yeah.
Hey, mama, rock me.
We could have had it, but
you
in the
I'm not sure what this is about.
No, I don't know. That's Adele. She's angry. So those are the ones that they say will stand the test of time that have come out in this decade.
And the funny thing is, they sound more like older songs than newer songs.
Yep. Precisely.
I mean, didn't the Uptown Funk people get sued for being so derivative?
I loved that song because it had such a throwback
because
feel to it.
Because it sounds like Morris Day and the Time could have done it.
Remember, you were talking about it. Everybody was talking about it. We did the story on it where Kiss was going to do a concert underwater in Australia in shark-infested waters.
For the sharks.
Yep, it happened. There were very few sharks.
Well, I would say it's one of the most unusual, eclectic things we ever did, that's for sure. It was kind of throwing us around a little bit, even though we were in a cove. There were some sea lions jumping around and stuff like that.
It was, for me, just like Willy Wonka and the Chocolate Factory and opening up that golden ticket.
We saw Gene Simmons, so got a photo with him. He gave me his sunglasses to wear.
Live with great white sharks!
They did it.
It's kind of ridiculous, but yep. I can't help but find it compelling.
Absolutely.
Stan.
I got two more things I got to get in here.
You know what? Can you imagine you and me in a dinghy just sitting there going, hey, let's watch Kiss.
It'd be awesome. You and I are both familiar with the movie 10. Blake Edwards, Dudley Moore film with Bo Derek.
Yeah, everything you said until you got to Bo Derek, I don't care about.
Yep, Bo Derek. Bo Derek.
What a beauty.
Real beauty. Julie Andrews was being interviewed, and her husband, Blake Edwards, made the movie.
She can't talk anymore, can she?
She can't sing anymore.
Oh.
And she was talking about how she was on set in the scene where Dudley Moore was in the orgy scene where they're all nude, and she's there on scene watching this from the movie 10. Here's Julie Andrews.
There was a day when Blake was shooting the orgy, and he said, Julie, you've just got to come on over here. It's an unbelievable sight. So, so I went dashing over. Of course I did. I walked in, and everybody was stark naked, and there was sweet Dudley in the middle of it all, and, you know, he wasn't very tall. And Blake put him between two enormously statuesque ladies. So he was completely naked, and these two ladies were naked, but their bums were up here, and little Dudley's was down there. So sweet.
And one more, I gotta put another legend. I'm talking about Miss Dolly Parton. She hooked Jimmy Fallon good with a story from when she was little. Now, she does a lot of this, but he fell for it, hook, line, and sinker.
You're saying that the hook went right through his cheek?
Right through. Dolly's a good storyteller, especially if it's a joke.
Uh-huh. We were having our meal, and this old man came over, and he sat down, and he was just talking to us, and we were all laughing. We didn't know him. Finally, he left. So I went up to pay the bill. The man said, well, your grandpa left his bill here, too. I said, my grandpa? So that old man had scammed us. So when we left, and he was standing there at the light, I went over to him. I said, hey, I would have been happy to have paid your bill. And he took his walking stick, and he started just beating me across the chest. I mean, just as hard as he could. Just wham, 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 wham.
Oh, my gosh.
I know. But
really? But then what happened?
What do you mean, what happened? These two big lumps came up, and they never did go down.
That is fantastic. Grab bag brought to you by the Pewter Mug North. We're going to take a break. An unbelievable...
She just got that natural charisma.
Yes, she does.
Effortless.
That's why she was a star for like five decades. I've got a story from the local beat, and I'll give this woman every credit for it. It is something that is different from what we do on the local beat. I'll tease it right now.
You've had just some really
this is an amazing story.
Women this week.
This is a story from the Fort Myers News Press, and I'll give Amy Bennett Williams, the full credit for...
I think she wrote a story about us.
She might have. Amy Bennett Williams put this story in the newspaper, and I will read to you not the article that she put in, because it's really not an article. She was cleaning out her desk, found a fax from a woman in town that had sent it to her 15 years ago, and it was a letter from a gentleman who kept a journal and describes Fort Myers and the Caloosahatchee River from 108 years ago and what it was like to be arriving in Fort Myers 108 years ago and how things have changed.
It was dustier and smellier.
He didn't mention that. But I've got it for you in the local beat. A phenomenal little piece of this letter about him coming to Fort Myers 108 years ago, before even Edison got here. Stan and Haney, 96 K-Rock.
96 K-Rock is where we've been for years. It's not a bad place to be. Besides, we've been told we can check out anytime we like. And they said something else, but I forget what it was.
Stan and Haney on 96 K-Rock.
Hey, everybody. Stan and Haney, thank you for joining us this afternoon. 277-9600. Chance to win later on in the 3 o'clock hour. We'll play Stan's What's on the List. Local beat time, and this is not crime or anything. It's a fascinating story that I saw in the Fort Myers News Press. I didn't know that the Fort Myers News Press are moving their offices to South Fort Myers. They're going out of the old building. Saw something alluding to the fact that they were looking to get their stuff and they're moving to a new facility. I didn't know anything about it.
I didn't hear that either.
No. It was just in passing.
It makes sense. You know, the media around here is god-awful. And, of course, we're a key part of that.
Always been a big part.
But since we've been here, we went from having television stations that were independent of one another to where they're pretty much all one thing now.
Yeah, a conglomerate.
We had the News Press and the Naples Daily News. And we remember one day in particular, because a lot of the reporters came down and visited with us right before there was a huge bloodletting at the News Press. Then they get the Naples Daily News. So now any newspaper that you pick up is speaking with one voice.
Yeah.
I think there are maybe two or three on television. And with radio, just as guilty. You know, when we started, K-Rock was here with an AM, and now we have about 47 radio stations in this building.
Meant for, I think, four.
And that's just here locally. Then look at what has happened nationally. And you're not getting the different voices.
No.
The different perspectives.
They don't have a budget, and that's why you don't have the reporters that stick to one story and can get to the bottom of things where they have a budget at the TV station, the newspaper, or anything like that that can say, Mark, for the next year and a half or until you get to the bottom of it, you're on this and this exclusively. They don't do that anymore.
And it especially hurts with the newspaper, because TV has always been about selling ads. It always will be. The newspaper used to be elevated to a different status, and they just won't spend the money.
No, it's not there anymore. That's why when I saw this, Amy Bennett Williams.
And so this is the local beat.
Yes.
Amy Bennett Williams. You know what I'd like for this one? Some of that old time music.
Oh, you want some old time
music? Yeah, because I'm
music.
Reading something from 108 years ago. 108 years ago. And this was printed by Amy Bennett Williams, who's been a senior writer at the News Press for a long, long time. And her headline in her column, they say senior writer and storyteller. Headline, what the Caloosahatchee looked like more than 100 years ago. 108 years ago, to be exact.
Now, so 108, would your haunted hotel have been built yet?
Probably, maybe. I might, maybe not. Here's how she starts off, and then I'll actually read the letter, the journal that she put into the News Press. She says it was a 15-year-old fax I had that puts it in historical context. The fax was from Karen Burns of Matt Lachey, who had been going through some old family papers. She came upon her grandfather's letter. His name, S.S. Richardson. It was a description of his 1911 railway trip he had taken to see his, along with his ailing wife and seven children, to see his brother.
And what year is this?
1911.
Bully for you.
He took the train from Kentucky to Fort Myers.
That same thing D-Train did.
Yep.
Didn't you hop a rail to come down here?
Yeah, I hid out in the caboose. A lot cheaper that way.
It all. He began. This is his writings from 1911. It began on an afternoon, November 6th, 1911. I'll get to the part of the letter where he's in Florida now. We traveled all night, arriving at Lakeland the next morning at about 8 o'clock. Here we had to change trains again and journeyed on, reaching Fort Myers at 1 p.m. We felt the heat of the sun as though we had never felt it before. We had to use our umbrella as soon as we were in the sun. Fort Myers is located on the south side of the Caloosahatchee River, which is 1 7/8 miles wide and the most beautiful river I have ever seen. It's shallow, except in the channel where the boats run. The water is clear, almost like crystal. Somewhat salty, the water reaching from a few miles above town to the Gulf of Mexico, the tide rises and falls here in this river with the Gulf.
And it's just completely clear.
Crystal. Described it as a crystal.
Paradise.
And keep in mind also, they did not understand sea life at that point in time. I even believe back then, you know, that when the shark attacks were happening up in New Jersey, nobody knew what a shark was.
No.
Let alone a manatee.
Yeah.
They thought they were like sea monkeys.
Here we go. More with this letter from S.S. Richardson from 1911 coming to Fort Myers. Fort Myers is on higher ground than the surrounding country and is a beautiful place. There is most always a good breeze, and one feels very pleasant when in the shade in the hottest weather. Any of the tropical fruits that can be grown here, such as oranges, bananas, grapefruit, lemons, coconuts, and a few peaches, but no apples. The soil here is not fertile. It is being a grayish sand. The people here use common fertilizer and cannot grow much without the exception of certain localities. There are lots of orange and grapefruit groves here in Fort Myers, up and down the river. The town has a shell road on the river, which is about 16 miles long, and a splendid automobile road. There are 60 automobiles in town, and the river is full of all kinds of boats. On Monday, November 20th, my brother and myself, with our families, went down to the river to Sanibel Island. The boat left the dock at 6 o'clock in the morning. It was a small steamboat fired with wood and carried enough fresh water to last the boiler the round trip. As we passed down the river, it seemed to us, who had never seen this before, as though the world was all turning to water. Our boat soon crossed the bay, which was a little rough, and landed at the lighthouse. We were soon on the beach gathering shells and watching big waters. This was the grandest...
Big waters.
Waters, big waters. This was the grandest sight of my life. We saw across the waters the mast of a moving ship. It being so far away, the hull was not visible. We also saw three large fish. They are called porpoise, which came to the top of the water at times and would float on the waves. They looked to be about 10 feet long, and I would take them to weigh about 1,000 pounds. These fish go in schools. Later in the day, we saw 8 at one time. We were soon loaded with... I don't know why you go to Sanibel and don't see any shells. We were soon loaded with fine shells and had to quit picking them up. The wind was blowing pretty strong, and the captain told us if the wind got any stronger, they could not land at the lighthouse when they returned, and we would have to go up to the other landing, which was about 2 miles on the bay coast. The wind did not cease to blow, so after we ate our lunch, we started up the bay for the other landing. When we boarded the boat, the waves were beating against the sides, which made it rock so a person could not stand up on deck without holding. So we journeyed home, a tired but pleased crowd. On Wednesday, we packed our trunk. Thursday morning, 7 o'clock, 2 weeks from the time we arrived, we boarded the train home. We could see the change in things farther north we came. When we reached the northern part of Georgia, the ground was freezing, and when we arrived in Louisville, it was cold enough for winter. As we had been in a summer-like climate, it sure felt cold. From 1911.
How many cars?
60? Were there 60 cars in Fort
Myers? 60 automobiles.
60 automobiles.
And 35 of them belong to Ford.
Yep, horseless carriages. That's amazing. And the Caloosahatchee. Crystal clear. And these fish.
Wonder what changed.
They picked up so many shells, they had to stop.
If we could step back in time to where that gentleman was, the things that we would see would blow our mind.
I bet.
You know, how many pictures have we seen at at Stan's dock with a giant tarpon, like the size of a shark?
Yeah.
In the Everglades, people made a fortune for shooting these dumb birds because women wanted their feathers for hats.
Yep.
Up in New York.
Yep.
And there was plenty of them. Yep. There was plenty of everything.
Amazing. 108 years ago. We're going to take a break. When we come back, we're going to give you a chance to win. We'll play Stan's What's on the List. We've got...
Back then, you didn't have to be a skilled fisherman.
No, you stuck a cane pole in the water and you pulled up a big fish. We got Busch Gardens Christmas Town. We've got Dirty Honey tickets. We've got Link, a restaurant. Twin Peaks calendars, Firehouse subs, pewter mug, whole lot more. We're Stan and Haney, 96K Rock.
A soothing waterfall of character flaws, coupled with the bitter taste of harsh judgment. Stan and Haney on 96K Rock.
Hey, everybody. Stan and Haney, thank you for joining us. Thursday afternoon, 30 minutes away from your first look at traffic news headlines. With Mark Haney, 4 o'clock fluffer, your emails. hour away from our question of the week, which you can participate in. In fact, we encourage it. But right now, we're going to give you a chance to win. And we've got a lot of good prizes up there. We're going to play Stan's What's on the List. I got the top seven answers today. You name one of the things on the list, and you haven't won anything in the last 60 days, you're a big winner. And we'll
a big winner.
We'll cross them off as they get named. This should be a no-brainer for anybody driving in Southwest Florida.
You know, I'll never forget that.
What?
I think we're at Mandalay Bay.
Yes.
And you'd hit for like, you know, you're making
Oh, that was at the Wynn.
Was it?
Yes, it was. It was driving me nuts.
It was like you'd pull a spin and you'd put in like a $5 on a spin and then you'd win $2.30.
Yeah.
And it would start flashing like you would just hit a jackpot. You're a big winner.
Yeah, because you got $2.30 back on that $5 bet, so you're only down $2.
Yep, and you see the Japanese tourists walking by going, oh.
70 cents. Here's what you can win.
Because they're walking by, they see the lights, and here you're a big winner. And they're going, oh, I need to play that machine.
We got Stan and Haney barbecue sauce.
And you almost want to go, no, you don't understand. No, I lost $2 on that. I'm not a big winner. Just don't pay attention. Yep.
Stan and Haney barbecue sauce, $50 to the pewter mug, Firehouse Subs gift card. We've got the 2020 Twin Peaks calendar with all the Twin Peaks girls on every month.
As a matter of fact, I'm the farthest thing from a big winner that's in this room.
You got that right. We've got $50 to the Link restaurant in Fort Myers. Pair of tickets to Dirty Honey coming to Dixie Roadhouse on January 24th.
Thanks for backing me up.
No problem. I'm always there. a pair of tickets to Busch Gardens Christmas Town going on now through January 6th. Does that include a parking pass? And it includes a parking, the all-important parking pass. And if you want to go to an Everblades game of your choice, and we got the tickets, you're going. So we got Everblades, Busch Gardens, Dirty Honey, Link, Twin Peaks calendar, Firehouse Subs, pewter mug, barbecue saw. Find something on that list that piques your interest. You name something on the list, you could be a big winner. Let's play Stan's What's on the List. 2779600. Phones are on lockdown until I give you the category. And again, if you're a driver here in Southwest Florida, something on this list is a complete no-brainer to you. Recent survey was done. Annoying drivers. These are the top seven things that you get most annoyed about with other drivers. As George Carlin once said, did you ever notice when you drive that everybody driving slower than you is a jerk and everybody driving faster than you is an idiot?
Maniac.
These are the top seven things that we are annoyed by other drivers. Things that they do. 2779600. Phone lines are released and open for your guests. Top seven things on the board. Ahoy, who's this?
It's Al.
Hey, Al, how are you?
I'm great, you?
Good. You want anything from us in the last 60 days?
Nope.
All right, you ready? Yep. Top seven answers on the board. Name one of them. These are things that we get annoyed with other drivers.
Here, slow people on the left lane.
Slow people on the left lane. Yes, driving slow in the fast lane. Number two on the board. You are absolutely right. What would you like, Al?
Firehouse.
Firehouse Subs. Done. Hold on. That's how the game is played. Let me get that one off the list. You know what? I'd like to have a pen.
I think that is perfectly reasonable thing for you to want.
Yes, Sam. I need a pen.
I don't think that's lavish or extravagant.
Thank you, Haney. Yep, number two on the list. Driving slow in the fast lane.
And I want to thank you again on backing me on the fact that I am not a big winner.
Yeah, I'll verify that. Ahoy, who's this? Ahoy. See ya. Bye. Ahoy, who's this?
This is Josh.
Josh, we have driving slow in the fast lane. What else do you think is on this top seven list? We got six more of them.
People not using their turn signals.
Number one answer in the survey, people who do not use a simple contraption they've had on cars for decades. It's called the turn signal. What would you like?
How about Link? That sounds great.
Yeah, man. The Link is, they got seafood, steaks, tacos, noodles, and sushi right there on Summerlin Road in Fort Myers. $50 to the Link coming your way, buddy. All right?
Thank you very much.
You are a big winner.
You're a big winner. That's what they say. Yeah, you'd go and be playing the dollar slots, and it would give you like 30 cents back. You're a big winner.
It got to the point that you really felt you were being mocked.
Yes. Yes. What is this? The wind's idea of a joke?
You know, I'm only here for the buffet.
Yep. 277-9600. Did you get the guy on line three yet? No. Ahoy, who's this? Ahoy. All right, line two is completely dead. 277-9600. Ahoy, who's this?
That's Mark. Ahoy.
Ahoy, Mark. We've got not using your turn signals, driving slow in the fast lane. These are other things that just drive us nuts.
How about tailgaters?
Number three on the board. Tailgating. That's the worst. What would you like?
I think the pewter mug.
All right, hold on.
Thank you.
You're welcome. Hold on. Won the last prize before this caller. Am I hitting these buttons right? I don't know. Am I hitting these buttons right?
Yeah, that's me. The guy that won the last prize before this caller dropped off, so I was trying to screen the calls as they come
in. I understand.
You're hitting the buttons in good faith.
I am, and they're getting disconnected because there's nothing wrong with these phones. Ahoy, who's this?
Ahoy. Hey, it's Chris.
Hey, Chris, how are you?
I would be fantastic if I could win the Busch Gardens ticket.
Well, we don't know yet. We have not using turn signals, driving slow in the fast lane, tailgating. There's a few others here that are on the list and could get you those Busch Gardens tickets. What do you think's on the list?
How about people who are too busy texting and driving to pay attention?
I'm not going to hang up on you yet, but instead of texting, what else are they doing?
Talking on the phone.
You betcha. Number four on the list. Using your phone, which could include texting or talking. Number four on the board. You are absolutely correct. What would you like?
Busch Gardens tickets, please.
You got them, Busch Gardens.
You're going to Christmas Town.
Big winner, Chris. And
thank you.
You also get the parking pass thrown in as well.
That's awesome.
So hold on.
Thank you so much.
You betcha, pal. Hold on, and Rob will take care of you. Hold on.
It's nice to hear someone's happy.
Yeah. All right. Recent survey done. These are the most annoying things other drivers do. You're going right down the list. Not using turn signals, driving slow in the fast lane, tailgating, using your phone while driving. There are three others on the list that could get you a prize. Ahoy, who's this?
Hi, this is Andrea.
Hi, Andrea. How are you?
Good. How are you?
Do you want to try to see what's on this list?
I would.
Go ahead.
Okay, how about...
You're going to have to speak up, sweetheart.
Okay, how about all the horn honkers honking at you?
Horn honkers, not on the list. Not there. Haney and I have known people that believe the horn is the greatest thing invented.
Yeah, the same people that don't believe in the turn signal believe that the horn is something you should use every time you drive.
It shouldn't be used as a warning. It should be used to startle them and put them in a panic.
Yep. You know, you...
It's a fact.
You put your car in gear, you got your brake, you got your gas pedal... You got your horn.
Yep.
They should be used judiciously.
Yep. What do they put it in the car for? It's to be used.
Mm-hmm.
Wait a second. That car is drifting. It's just touching the line. Blow the horn at them. There's someone that's thinking about crossing the street where they're not supposed to. Blow the horn at them. There's somebody riding their bike with their back to you. Blow the horn on them.
And when you're riding with that person, you're just like, God. You almost want to look just in every direction and go, it's not me doing it.
Yeah. This same person that if they don't like it that you're not using the horn, which I would deem in an inappropriate manner, is the one, if they're riding shotgun, will reach over and hit the horn for you.
Hold on, Stan. Here, let me help you.
Yep. Bop, bop, bop.
Couldn't help but notice you weren't hitting the horn when you should have.
And that's not, and I did that wrong. That's not a friendly toot on the horn. You have to lay on the horn.
Yeah, that's what it's made
that's
for.
That's what it's made for. It's not made to, you know, a little toot on the horn. Good lay on
Lord.
It.
Lord.
Ahoy, who's this? Ahoy.
Jack?
Zach, how are you, buddy?
Doing great. How about you?
Doing good, pal. I hope you get something here. We've got not using turn signals, driving slow in the fast lane, tailgating, using your phone while you're driving. What else do you think is on this list?
Doing your hair or makeup?
Hair, makeup, not on the list. I would agree with you. It's only about 50% of the people that do that. And most of them shouldn't have licenses anyway.
And when you see one of those drivers, you have to lay on the horn to let them know that you know they shouldn't even be driving.
Just sit on that horn.
Yep. Take off your seatbelt if you have to get your whole body weight into that horn.
Yeah. Yeah. I'm not going to say it, but I think that there are certain things we're all capable of doing anything. You know, women can do this. Women
I don't
can,
know.
But I am a firm believer that there are certain things women do better than guys. They have an innate ability to do it. And
what are you talking about, cooking?
No, well, for some. Most.
Childcare.
And others that men are better at. Men have, I think, most men, not elderly, in their driving prime, have a sixth sense about driving. Women don't possess that. That doesn't mean women can't be good drivers. It just means it doesn't come 100% naturally to them. They tend to daydream a little bit.
Let me give you an example.
Please.
If you're a man and you want a movie to be made about your driving, you will have to be a legend with multiple wins at the highest level of racing, and then it's still probably not going to happen.
Correct.
However, if you are a woman and you get strapped into a dragster by your team, they will make a movie about you, and it will be called Heart Like a Wheel, the Shirley Muldowney story. Oh. You don't have to win.
Right.
You just have to be a lady who is strapped into a vehicle built by men, maintained by men.
Right. Ahoy, who's this?
Hi, guys, it's Heather.
Here we go. Hi, Heather.
Hi.
You ready?
Yep, I'm ready.
There are three more left on the list. These are the things that annoy us most about other drivers.
running red lights.
Running, that's, you know what? That's a good one, but it is not on the list. Ahoy, who's this?
Chris.
Chris, there's yes. three left. What do you think's on the list?
Cutting you off.
Cutting you off. Let me show this to Haney. And he said, Chris said, cutting you off. Would this classify? yes or no? I'm going to leave you to be the judge of that.
And there's nothing else on the
list. There's nothing else even close to what he's saying. I don't think it is.
No.
That's too not on the list.
I don't think that's their intent.
No. Yeah, they'll make a movie about you sitting in the... Never.
Yep. What about a big budget Big Daddy Don Garlitz movie?
Nope.
But Shirley Muldowney.
Yes.
She gets a movie.
Yep. Yep. All right, let's go. Let's see what we got here.
Would a male driver with Danica Patrick's stats even be mentioned?
No. No. I don't think she won a NASCAR race. Ahoy, who's this?
Hi.
Hi. Who's this? Turn
your Cindy.
Cindy, turn your radio down, okay? You're confusing
Sorry.
Me. You're confusing
okay.
me. I'm getting all
Stan,
dizzy.
Stan, do not yell at Cindy Lou Who.
That's what they call me, actually.
Oh, I bet they do.
Hi.
Yeah. Yeah. Got those big eyes and a little curl on the top of your head.
You got that right, baby.
What? Yeah. What do you think's on this list, Cindy Lou Who?
Sitting through a green light.
No. Not on the list.
Well, that would be enraging.
Yeah, it would be. But that would probably be because you're on your phone. Or doing your makeup. Again, that's only about 50%. Far higher percentage on the phone. Take a couple of more, and then I'll go over the list. Ahoy, who's this? Ahoy.
Hello?
Can you hear me on line two? Ahoy.
I got you.
All right, brother. What do you think's on the list?
Driving with your emergency flashers on.
No, it should be. It's against the law. One more, and then I'll go over the ones that nobody got. Ahoy, who's this?
Ahoy, this is Mike.
Mike, last one today to get a prize. We have not using turn signals, driving slow in the fast lane, tailgating, using your phone while you're driving. What else do you think is on there? There's three more on my list.
Did that last person say oncoming traffic with the bright lights on?
No, they did not. They said riding with your hazard lights on. And is that your answer?
That's my answer.
Not there. Recent survey done. Top seven things that bother
you. I'm not
you.
Impressed with that survey.
Here they are. Number one, not using turn signals. Number two, driving slow in the fast lane. Number three, tailgating. Number four, using your phone while you're driving. Nobody got this. Throwing trash out your window. I'm going to tell you something, and Haney is a prime example of this. People will say you're smoking in your car and you're throwing the butts out the window. No, Haney doesn't do that. I don't do that. I don't smoke in my car, but Haney will not throw a butt out the window. There's a difference between a smoker and a litter bug. Throwing anything out the window, if it's a lit cigarette, even a put-out cigarette, or a piece of trash, that's a litter bug. Has nothing to do with smoking. Also on the list, number six, changing lanes too much. You got the guy that all the lanes are too slow for him, and he's bopping in and out, like he's at a NASCAR race. And the other one, this is a huge problem, number seven, with us in season. Not knowing how to merge correctly into highway traffic. The bonehead that will go right up the on-ramp and then come to a dead stop waiting to go into merge into traffic. You merge yield is you go and you use caution and blend right into the traffic and pick up your speed.
But what about if there's a bunch of a-holes that won't let you in?
Well, then I put my four flashers on, my high beams.
And I lay on the horn.
Lay on the horn and get ready. We're going to take a break. Traffic, news headlines, 4 o'clock fluffer.
You know what annoys the hell out of me?
What?
Is when you put on your right-hand turn signal,
yep,
and the driver behind you not only doesn't slow, but speeds up.
Yep, right on your ass. Yep. Pay attention. We're Stan and Haney. 96 K-Rock.
Depending on how you drive and your car's condition, you can get incredible mileage from the Goodyear Custom Wide Tread Polyglass tire. But polyglass means more than mileage when your wife has to drive alone. When a woman's at the wheel, Polyglass means more than mileage.
We're just like most of you. Financially devastated ex-husbands, unrepentantly proud fathers, and underappreciated employees. Stan and Haney, 96 K-Rock.
Hey everybody, Stan and Haney, thank you for joining us. Thursday afternoon. Just thinking about it, you're almost done with your Thursday. And then you got Friday and then the weekend. We've just about made it. We're going to get you updated on traffic for your drive home this afternoon. News headlines with Mark Haney. 4 o'clock fluffer. Your emails. In less than 30 minutes, we will have our question of the week. I have to do a little bit of housekeeping and inquiring, and I'm really getting sick of it. You know, this digital department is just driving me up a wall. We have podcasts. Now, I got to bring Rob on here. Rob, show everybody. You remember how a few months ago, when anything that would play in your room was almost like on a little bit of a delay, and the engineer fixed it?
Mm-hmm.
Apparently... And keep in mind, Haney and I don't have any controls over this stuff. And Rob puts the podcast and he sends it off. That's okay. All. And what is on the podcast is what we do.
Find out what's going on.
Somebody is saying that on the podcast, when you talk, there's two of you.
Okay. Did not know that. I'll have to go back and find out what's going on.
When you talk, it comes out at two different times. And it sounds like.
And we have no idea.
We have no idea. And it sounds like what used to come from your computer is now coming from your microphone.
Okay.
This is what I've been told. There are so many different platforms that this podcast, the Stan and Haney Show podcast, is heard from. Your Spotify, your iTunes, the K-Rock site. I don't know which one you're listening on, and I don't know if it's their end or our end, probably our end. And but there's two of you.
Okay, good to know. All right. Will get with Richard, the engineer, and figure it out.
Thank you kindly.
Well, I mean, it sounds like a bonus.
Yeah.
You know, twice the fun.
Yeah, it's a twin spin. Let's get you updated. Let's get you updated on traffic for your drive home this afternoon.
What do you want from me?
Yeah, I know. Okay. I know. Oh, before I even do that, I just got this. It just went into the big book. We're doing it again for the holidays, Christmas. Get ready for the second annual Beasley Bike Drive to benefit Toys for Tots. It all gets started Tuesday, December 10th from 6 a.m. to 6 p.m. It's going to be at the Walmart Superstore right here on Estero Parkway in Estero. K-Rock employees, representatives from the United States Marines, the official Toys for Tots truck. It'll all be on hand to accept new bicycles, new unwrapped toys, cash, gift cards for needy children in Southwest Florida. So it's going to start again. It was a huge success last year.
And last year was just the bikes. This time we want the bikes. We want the unwrapped toys. We want the cash. We want the gift cards. For more information, go to 96krock.com or on the K-Rock mobile app. Traffic this half hour. Couple of things on the board. North Fort Myers, disabled vehicle, North Cleveland Avenue and Pine Island Road. And in Bonita Springs, a crash. 26,000 block of South Tamiami Trail, right by Chen's Buffet. I think that's a Chinese buffet. Chen's.
What makes you say that?
The way it's spelled. Wow. C-H-E-N-S.
That's inappropriate of you.
How is that inappropriate if it's a Chinese buffet?
You don't know that.
I think I'm right on that one. I think. I might have even eaten there. But I don't eat a lot of places anymore. Just one place.
What?
Coming up in less...
You just eat at one place?
Yeah. Popeyes. Coming up in less than 1 hour, it'll be the newscast
the
of record.
What's going on?
With Southwest Florida's most respected anchorman, Mark Haney.
I don't know. But I know what's behind it. It's that damn chicken sandwich. Everybody I know that has eaten that sandwich, they've all changed.
Yeah, we become different people because we're led by the great chicken.
People that I think that I can trust no matter what are flaking out on me.
Yeah, all because of this chicken.
It's destroying the country.
Yeah, well... All I can tell you is it's good.
Coming up in less than an hour on the news, we'll ask the question.
Yeah.
Why has the Trump Foundation been thoroughly investigated, yet not a word about the Clinton Foundation?
Yeah.
Well, I have some things for you you did not know. I'll give you a sneak preview. One of those things involves our favorite, Thomas Edison.
Really?
Just when you think... We have a list of the most hated Thanksgiving food in every state.
Yeah. I know what most hated on my table was as a kid growing up. Mashed turnips.
Well, they weren't prepared properly.
Mashed? No. You wouldn't eat. They were prepared. Everybody in the whole family loved them. I wouldn't eat them.
No, because all you could think about was the future and the Popeye's chicken sandwich.
I said, if they could just make this turkey chicken and crisp it up a bit and put on a sugared bun.
Mm-hmm. With perfect pickle placement.
Yeah.
Crunchy pickle.
Yeah, very fresh. Fresh.
A porn site will pay for your Thanksgiving dinner, no questions asked. If you are willing to live stream your Thanksgiving dinner. Porn site.
A porn site.
Mm-hmm.
No strings attached. I can stay fully clothed.
If we have time, we'll tell you about a real good guy bagel store manager.
All right.
You know, on websites, when you sign up, they'll give you a choice of security questions.
Mm-hmm. Like, I forget them.
Like mine, it's always, who's your favorite Stan? Is Stan the very best or just the best?
Yeah.
The things like that. I don't know why, but that's what I get. A JetBlue security question asks, what's the name of your favorite child?
That's easy for you and I.
Oh, yeah, we got no problems.
No problems there. Naming that.
That we know of. And finally, a man uses a stranger's Porsche as a battering ram to get his Nissan out of impound. These stories and much, much more unfortunate nonsense coming your way in less than an hour on the news.
Mark, thank you. Laughter. We strive to at least give you a chuckle a day with the 4 o'clock fluffer brought to you by Firehouse Subs, Cape Coral, Fort Myers. Mark?
Home. Today, 8 American smokeouts. Indeed. That in mind, we bring you today's list of the
top
reasons you won't quit smoking.
You smoking.
Richards always has a smoke dangling out of his mouth, and the man is indestructible.
That's right.
Earnhardt!
All right, Earnhardt.
Your kids really want...
You need... Woo!
Thank you, darling.
You live in Los Angeles. So in reality, inhaling tobacco smoke improves your air quality.
That's right.
First of all, let me thank Hillary Clinton.
Without a cigarette, wearing a leather jacket and leaning against a Harley just doesn't seem the same.
That's right.
Shut up, Bo!
Hey, shut him down.
Put a bullhorn on him. Put a bullhorn. You know what? That's one of the greatest inventions ever made, a bullhorn.
I know it's one of your favorites.
I love it.
And I'm surprised, I guess, because impeachment and Prince Andrew are so important.
Mm.
It doesn't seem to be making news what is going on in Iran right now. Do you even know about it?
Nothing good, I tell you that right now. I read about Netanyahu today over in Israel.
Well, the international left.
Yeah.
There have been protests in Iraq and Lebanon against the Iranian regime.
Yeah.
They want them out. And the protests have now spread to, I think, 20 major cities in Iran itself.
Well, they'll be killed.
They are.
Yeah, they'll be killed.
Live ammo.
Yep.
Shut up, go! Shut up, go! Shut up, go! Shut up, go!
But best of luck to them.
Yeah.
Top reasons for
yes.
not wanting to quit smoking.
Yeah.
You're married. So your lifespan is, well, not such an issue.
Yeah.
So shame on you, Barack Obama.
The cat hanging from a tree on that poster in your office does not believe in quitters.
Oh my God.
You consider anything condemned by the Surgeon General to be fake news.
Yeah, of course.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
And finally, the very top reason you won't quit smoking.
Yes.
It calms you down.
Yeah.
That's important. Otherwise, you'd probably go all Miles Garrett on everyone. And that, my friends, is the 4 o'clock.
Has left the building. Email ahoy at stanandhaney.com.
What?
Ahoy at stanandhaney.com.
Okay.
Thank God for you, Jim Jordan.
Oh, you got that right. I think we're playing like some kind of telephone line here for Meg and her friend Kathy.
How's Meg doing?
Well, let's find out.
Now, see, I don't know Kathy.
That was the one she asked for a shout out yesterday. Her friend Kathy.
Right,
and
but
I'm
concerned with Meg.
Meg is. Let's see. Ahoy, Stan and Haney. Is it just me, or does human Mayo Vidman have a face like he sat in something wet?
Yep.
He does!
Oh, by the way.
Yes.
Before I forget.
Yeah.
I told you yesterday about President Trump and how he pardoned several members of the military,
yes,
including Chief Petty Officer, yes, Navy SEAL Eddie Gallagher?
Yes.
Did you see?
Yes, and they took away his pin, and Trump says, you give it back.
They tried to take away, yep, his pin until the president said,
nope,
you're not doing that.
Yep.
And then the two-star said, oh, yes, sir.
Here's Meg's friend, Kathy. Hi, guys. I hope this email finds you both in a great mood today. Thanks, Meg, for the shout-out yesterday. How sweet and thoughtful of you. Boys, I got to share something with you about dogs and their age in human years. You were talking about it yesterday. I'll try to keep it short. I was watching a Yukonuba dog show. That's that dog food brand, the Yukonuba.
Oh, the expensive stuff?
Yep. I was watching their dog show once, and they said
when... You're saying the one that the vet always tries to force,
yes,
you to buy?
Yes, that's the one. They said when the dog is 1 year old, they are basically like a baby. When they are two, they're like a teenager. When they are three, the dog is in its 30s in human years. And when it's 5 years old... Oh, and then it's 5 years for every year after that. Unfortunately, we just had to put down our beloved English black lab. We had to put her down on the 8th.
Oh, that's a shame. You should have called Stan. He enjoys that.
I tried to explain that to my wife, too. He would have been 12 years old on the 14th. So he would have been 75 in human years. Just wanted to share that. You guys are the best. And yes, get that crap that Marvin has put on your podcasts off your show. I don't know. We want to. I don't know if he is responsible.
I'd like to think he is.
Yes, but those lead-ins are just not right. Signed, Kathy in Cape Coral. Stan, a belated congratulations on you getting married. Well, thank you, Kathy. When we come back...
Oh, another thing to follow up on?
Yes.
I mentioned Myles Garrett there in, yeah, the punchline.
Yeah.
You hear the latest from him?
What?
Race card. That's what started it.
Oh. Our question of the week is next. Stan and Haney, 96 K-Rock.
Fred and Barney, Siegfried and Roy, Ralph and Norton, Stan and Haney. You gotta be shitting me. You can't pay me enough to say this shit. Stan and Haney, 96 K-Rock.
Hey, everybody. Stan and Haney, thank you for joining us. About 25 minutes, 30 minutes away from Mark Haney and the news. In just a few minutes here, we'll check traffic for you for your drive home. And before doing that, we will pose to you our question of the week. You have the right answer because it's your answer. It's not a yes or no. We'll do that in just a second, but Haney and I want to tell you about Xfinity X1. Oh, it delivers the simplest, most complete way to access and experience all of your entertainment on all of your screens. It's an amazing thing. Completely amazing.
With X1 DVR, you can watch and record up to 6 shows, plus you can start watching in one room and finish in another.
That's what I like to do.
You can track multiple games at once, check the latest scores and standings, all while watching another show or game. X1 gives you easy access to apps right on your TV screen. You can check weather and traffic, watch Netflix and Amazon Prime Video shows, as well as YouTube. You can even listen to music on Pandora and iHeartRadio and more. What are you waiting for? Go to Xfinity.com, call 1-800-XFINITY, or visit an Xfinity store today.
Our question of the week. I'll pose it to you. We'll do some traffic and then take your calls at 277-9600. You have the right answer. It's a week from today, Thanksgiving. And no matter where you're going to have it, if you're going to have it with family, you're going to have it with friends, maybe it's just you and your wife, maybe it's just you and your kid, maybe you're going out to dinner, doesn't matter.
our question of the week. What is a must-have side for Thanksgiving? You gotta have it. And what is one that you can do without for your Thanksgiving dinner? 277-9600. You're sitting down to Thanksgiving, and you're the one in charge. What is a must-have side for Thanksgiving, and one you can basically do without? 277-9600. We'll take your calls after we do some traffic here. Brought to you by Anger Management Rage Room. Oh, bust things up and not get in trouble. Cypress Lake Drive, Fort Myers. Go to amrageroom.com. One thing on the board, and it's in Fort Myers. It's a crash. The 6900 block of Daniels Parkway behind 21st Century. And you are up to date. We'll have another traffic update for you right before Mark Haney in the news. Thanksgiving a week away. You're sitting down and you're having your Thanksgiving dinner any way that you seem fit with
the
people.
This year has roared by.
Sure has. What is for you a must-have side and one that, yeah, it's okay, you don't have to put it on the table. I can do without that one. 277-9600. For me, a must-have, and I haven't had it for years and years. First of all, the stuffing, the dressing is the second most important thing to the bud. My mom used to make it, and it was my great-grandmother's recipe. Chestnut stuffing or dressing, where the day before Thanksgiving, we'd actually peel the roasted chestnuts, and she'd mix it into the stuffing. And have very northeastern New England style dressing, the chestnut dressing. I think I said earlier, the one I can do without, mashed turnips. Sorry, there's a few others as well. One that also comes to mind, onion casserole.
That sounds delightful.
Yeah, but those chestnut stuffing, yes, I can do without mashed turnips. Haney? A must-have side. It's got to be there.
Well, I'm a big fan of sides. If I had to pick one, it would be corn made a certain way. And I don't know all that goes into it, but I know that it involves a lot of bacon and sour cream.
Okay. Is it like a creamed corn with sour cream? It doesn't have any of those red little flakes in it, does it?
No.
And what do you would rather not have on the table?
I'm not really anti anything. Cranberry sauce is always just kind of an odd thing.
I never touch it. Others have to have it.
It's only on Thanksgiving, and Yep. It's like, well, if it's on my plate, I'll eat it.
Right.
But I'm not going, oh, man, who forgot the cranberry sauce?
I know people that live and die by it, and whether it's canned or the real stuff. Rob, Thanksgiving, a must-have side.
Stuffing. It's my favorite.
One you can do without?
Any type of vegetable, to be honest. They all just suck. Yeah, they just take up room. You want the meat. You want the sides. You don't want the...
What?
My girlfriend will make the green bean casserole.
Yeah.
No interest in...
With the onion crisps
yeah,
on the top?
You're nuts.
I'll eat the onion crisp. I don't want the green beans.
Let me ask you this before we go to the calls. Are you somebody that avoids vegetables any kind at any cost during the year?
I feel like I'm getting punished when I have to eat them. I don't know why. My girlfriend will give me a meat. She'll give me a side, maybe some rice, some kind of carb. And then there's always a vegetable with my dinner. And
you're supposed to.
I don't want that. No, I'm okay. I'm an adult.
Seems like she's trying her best.
She is trying her best. Remember when Fat Tony was alive and we made him eat lettuce?
When he was alive?
Yeah. He's dead now.
And I don't remember when he was alive, but I do remember that. I shouldn't say.
Yeah. He got toilet sick. 277-96.
His body rejected a salad.
Yep. What is a must-have side and one you can simply do without? Ahoy, who's this?
Hello, this is Brad.
Now, I don't. You know what? Unless you're going to go and sound A, sober, and B, you're taking up so much of my valuable time. We'll try it with you. We'll try it with you, Bonehead. What is a must side for you?
I couldn't agree more with what's
You know, get the marbles out of your mouth.
I thought Dave was Bonehead.
It's a group. You can, I can go and single out 5, 6, 7 boneheads.
So would that mean if it's interchangeable, scatter, so be it?
Sure. He's the one. You get in the pan, and then you take the fork and you touch it and it busts open. Ahoy, who's this?
Hey, this is Jake from Golden Gate.
Jake, what is a must-have side for Thanksgiving and one you can basically do without?
I got to have frozen squash. Not fresh squash, frozen.
I like squash.
But it's got to be not fresh. It's got to be frozen.
Yeah, frozen stuff.
Okay, and something that you can do without?
I like it with some cheese.
Three bean salad.
Yeah, I'm
I
with,
like three no, bean salad.
No, I don't either. I'm with them. I'm with you, buddy. I'm with you. Three bean salad. Now.
What's wrong with that?
No. Give me a nice, toss salad and three bean salad. 277-9600. What is for Thanksgiving a must-have side, and one that you can basically do without. That's okay. You don't have to. Ahoy, who's this?
It's Mark.
Mark, what is a must-have side and one that, so what?
Well, there's a couple that are favorites, but mac and cheese.
You know, mac and cheese, when I was a kid growing up, and my mom would never have mac and cheese on a Thanksgiving table. Since I've been an adult and have gone to several people's homes for Thanksgiving, they put included mac and cheese, and I like it.
And you know, mac and cheese, when you say it, people know what you're talking about, but it can be so many different things. From something out of a friggin' box to something that is
baking
so good.
In the oven.
Yep.
Yep.
Yeah.
So what's something
in the oven with the breadcrumbs on?
You know it, brother. What is something you can do without on as far as the side goes?
I haven't had it in years because I think they finally got the point with the peas with those little pearl onion things in them.
I don't mind those. Okay.
Mashed potatoes to have with them.
with the pearl onions?
With the peas.
And peas?
Yeah.
You mix them together?
Yeah.
I was always separate them. Keep it all. Don't let one touch the other. 277.
Never shall the two
meet. You know what? Another thing that used to be on our table that I don't care if I ever see again. Rhubarb. And yeah, sometimes people would make them into rhubarb pie and you make something sweet with them. But to have rhubarb on the table.
Yeah, my dad's mom would make the rhubarb pie.
And I'm not a big fan of rhubarb pie either, but rhubarb.
I didn't have a problem with it.
No, I know. No.
Now, am I going to pick that over a pecan pie?
No,
I'm not.
You are not. Ahoy, who's this?
Hey, it's Jeff. How are you guys doing?
Doing good, Jeff. For Thanksgiving, you're sitting down there getting all comfy at the table. What is a must-have side and one that you can basically do without?
Well, I found this stuff a couple years ago. And so this will be my second Thanksgiving with it. Put it on the white meat, and it's just phenomenal. Stan and Haney barbecue sauce.
Oh, wow. And something that
gotta
you can,
have it.
Something you can do without?
Tree bark. Don't like tree bark.
Yeah, who does?
And you know what? You haven't mentioned anything about breads or soups.
We briefly talked
about a dessert.
And meats and... Getting all fat and
but
sassy.
But it's breads and soups.
These breads and soups. And
I was sitting at my desk and I had a question.
Would
sides be considered fixins on Thanksgiving?
No.
Can I get a clarification on that?
I'm thinking about breads and soups.
Eat bread and dessert. Eat bread and dessert. Cook some soups and then just get all fat and sassy.
That's it.
Then just get all fat and sassy.
I think with Thanksgiving, though,
it's
sides.
More formal. Yeah.
It's more formal. It's
gotcha.
A side.
Yeah. Just wanted a clarification.
What about you? What about you? What was something that was a must-have and something that you could do without?
Well, I love my mom's mashed potatoes.
Yeah, and with turkey, you have sides. With fried chicken, you have fixings.
Gotcha, yeah. A little more casual.
Mashed potatoes.
Yeah, mashed potatoes. My mom was great at gravy, but my mom really excelled at desserts. That was her thing.
What was something that you didn't want on the table?
Anything vegetable-y.
Again, another you too. You don't touch vegetables.
No, I like vegetables. I don't like fruit.
Oh, that's right.
But, I'm not a big fan of Brussels sprouts. My mom used to make them.
Those are good.
No, I'm not a Brussels sprout.
If they're made right, a lot of butter and garlic.
Well, you've got to camouflage
them. With butter.
Got to camouflage the stuff.
Thanks, guys.
Thank you, Matt.
And we've said really nothing about breads. Let's hear it for the rolls. Let's hear it for the biscuits.
Cornbread?
Oh, yeah.
Ahoy, who's this? Ahoy. Bye. Ahoy, who's this?
Oh, yes, this is Chad from LaBelle.
Chad, what is a must-have side and one that you can do without?
I got to have green bean casserole.
I like green bean casserole a lot.
I do, too.
It's simple to make, and it always adds... If you Thanksgiving table, something
you
was wrong.
Like you're getting...
What can you do without?
I can do without pretzel salad.
What salad?
Pretzel salad.
What is that?
It's a... you make it with cream cheese and Jell-O, and you put pretzels and mix it all together.
No, God, no. What the hell?
See, those were a couple of ingredients that are fine on their own, but keep them away from each other.
277. You know what? Another thing that used to be on the table that my sisters used to love it. Beets. They would always
I hate beets. I'm having flashbacks to Thanksgiving over the years.
Beets. No.
Smoked oyster stuffing. That was spectacular.
I know.
And it wasn't Thanksgiving, but it was over the holidays. Beef Wellington.
Oh, okay. I'm fine with that.
Ooh.
Ahoy, who's this?
Freeman.
Freeman, must-have side, one you could do without.
Sweet potatoes with whipped cream topping on it. Gotta have that. And any kind of soup.
You don't want soup
for Thanksgiving.
Well, you know what? Here's the tradition. If you grew up in a tight-knit household with your mom and your grandma, maybe after Thanksgiving dinner, your grandma or your mom would take the carcass of that bird and make some turkey soup with it afterwards. And she'd cook those bones and get that meat off of there and make a turkey soup.
She's done a lot of things over the years, but as far as soups, a couple of years, she made the most delicious cold soup that you'd ever want to eat. And I don't even remember what the hell was in it. I just remember it was good.
I just remember after Thanksgiving, he had the leftovers, but she would keep that carcass. And cook it down, and make it into a nice turkey stock, and the leftover pieces and vegetables. Ahoy, who's this?
Hey, it's Jim.
Jim, must have side, one you could do without.
I like the asparagus with some hollandaise sauce on it.
Now you're talking. Hollandaise.
Okay. one that you don't want.
Ambrosia salad with the. All the fruits and the marshmallows.
Yep, I agree. I agree 100%.
What about some honey glazed carrots?
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. I don't mind your broccoli on the table. I don't mind your honey glazed carrots. I don't mind any of your stuffings, your breads.
Soups, desserts.
We'll probably sit around and cook some soups and eat bread and desserts and just get all fat and sassy.
Yeah.
Happy Thanksgiving, everybody.
If you'd like to answer our question of the week, ahoy at stanandhaney.com. Mark Haney in the news is next.
Then you got your moose soup.
Hey, Southwest Florida, you've stuck with us through thick and thin.
Feast and famine.
War and peace and everything in between. Don't think for a minute we don't appreciate it. No matter how we may come across, we love this damn job. Stan and Haney. 96
K-Rock.
Hey, gang, Stan and Haney here.
thank you for joining us and spending your afternoon with us. Greatly appreciated. Mark Caney in the news coming up here in just a second. I know we were working on a math equation outside. I think I found the answer.
What did it turn out to be?
20. No. Here's
it's 40% of 60 minutes.
Here's and Rob will know.
So
what we're
50%
talking about.
Of that 50 minutes.
Thanksgiving and we're their best of shows.
And we're idiots.
And we're complete.
Total
mathematical
total
idiots,
buffoons.
So I go to.
You know what a savant is?
Yes.
We are the opposite
yes.
of that.
So I go to our shows every day. I said, on the average, I'm together a best of Rob's putting together, and I said, on the average, how long of actual talk material, taking out the commercials, taking out the music, how long do I need these best ofs to be so that when we're not here, it stays on time? And he said, on average, 2 hours and 32 or to 38 minutes, 2 hours. So he said the sweet spot would be, say, 2 hours and 34 minutes. And I said, okay. So I have my segments put together, and we add to them time-wise if we need to add to them. And I said, okay, so I need 2 hours and 32
minutes. It
just
reminds me of just receiving a math paper
yes.
back with everything's wrong.
So I have 144 minutes of material already, and so I figured it out, and here's where it got me. Because you go to a thing on the your app, and you can figure out minutes to hours. And it said 144 minutes equals 2.4 hours. And I said, that 0.4, is that 2 hours 40 minutes? What's the, or 2 hours 4
or the,
minutes?
Or the 40%.
40% of an hour? But now we got 2 hours, is that 20? And I'm losing my effing mind. Look.
What is 0.40?
Yes. 2.4 hours. How many minutes... No, that's 144 minutes. I want how many minutes in, let's just say.
See, you've already lost me.
Yeah. How many minutes in.
What are we counting and how are we counting?
I want to know how many minutes are in 2 hours and 35 minutes. How many minutes total in 2 hours 35 minutes.
Okay, so times 2.
That's 60. That's 120.
120.
Plus 35 equals what?
120 plus 35. So the 5.
What is that?
155.
Is it 155? 155.
Yay!
It's driving me nuts because I'm saying, what does 2.4 hours mean?
Is means that you mean more time.
That means
I was right then.
Yeah, I need about...
So does that mean I was right that the 0.4 means 20 minutes?
Does it 0.4 and then 0.4, 20 minutes?
Or 25, because 50,
I don't know.
50% of an hour would be 30 minutes.
Right, would it? Yes. Yes. This point...
That's also known as a half hour.
So 2 hours and 35 minutes would be 154 minutes? Am I right on that? Is that what it is? 100?
Yeah, I think you're 10 minutes shy.
So I got to add,
I don't know. He's on the phone to somebody else. He didn't know either.
What did they say? Hold on. What?
Everybody's calling in to correct the math.
What is it?
I'm not sure, to be honest with you.
I want to know how long 2.4 hours
so you
is.
So you mean they're calling in to correct the math, but all of them with different answers?
The first guy called in before you guys even got started saying, I know the equation. I went, wow.
Look. I have 144 minutes. It says that's 2.4 hours. What is the 0.4? It's 2 hours and how many minutes? 2.4. What the hell's that? Tell me it's 2 hours and blankety 25 minutes. Tell me it's that. Then I got to go and what? Add a few more minutes to the best of so that we stay on time so that when 6 o'clock comes, we got it. How effing hard is this? Okay, I can't. I mean, I don't want to deal with it. I'll count it by hand. 1 minute, 2 minutes. There's an hour.
2.4 hours equals 144 minutes.
That's how much I got. What is 2.4 hours?
144 minutes.
Thank you. I need to know that what the point four is. Is that 2 hours and 40 minutes? Is that 2 hours and 20 minutes? What is that? Look, 2 hours is 120 minutes. I need 34 minutes added to that. So that becomes 254 minutes. I have to add 10 minutes. Thank you.
I think that's what I said.
Yeah, 10 minutes. Thank you, everybody.
You'd have to roll tape on it, but I believe I'm correct.
Thank you for your help.
Ah!
Christ.
God!
I tell you, it's god-awful.
Damn, math follows me everywhere.
Yep. Road Watcher, this is the latest up-to-date thing, is reporting ice, and this is nothing new. I-75 northbound and north of Immokalee Road. I-75, mind you, doing 20 miles per hour.
No.
And you.
No.
Are up to date. Mark, Haney, and the news brought to you by Jason and Todd at the Diamond District. Starts right now.
This is Nightly News. With Tom Brokaw in New York, Roger Mudd in Washington, and commentary by John Chancellor.
Hi, I'm Garrick Utley, and you're listening to Southwest Florida's most respected anchorman, Mark Haney.
Everybody and their uncle is calling. I got it figured out. I need 154 minutes. That made me tired.
Good afternoon.
Yeah.
This is the news for today, Wednesday, November 21st.
Double MXIX.
Time now for things you didn't know. There's a lot of them. Thomas Edison.
That fraud.
We've told you many, many things about Thomas Edison that you didn't know over the years. And his early life is well documented. As he drifts into later life, a little less so. One of the last inventions Edison worked on after he finally... Did he ever realize that he wasn't making rubber out of goldenrod, or did he take that to the grave?
He still didn't believe it. They told him it doesn't work, but I think he took the belief it did to the grave.
One of the last inventions Thomas Edison ever worked on was a telephone to contact dead people.
This idiot. Pure, unadulterated idiot. That's a buffoon.
Now, when you think about motion pictures and recordings and all of these things, he stole them.
Yes.
This one is actually his.
Yeah, it's one of his
inventing
babies.
Inventing a telephone to contact the dead.
Yep. Where he was coming from.
Where he was coming from is that he's got that on paper.
Yeah.
So that if anyone ever actually did that, he could go, I invented that!
That's mine. But nobody in their right mind would. He sees motion picture camera, photograph, light bulb. That's mine. I'm taking it.
I invented that.
Anybody want this thing I'm coming up with, a telephone to talk to dead people? No, no takers. It's what I'm best at.
Well, Wall Street was set a Twitter today with Edison's announcement that he's invented a telephone to contact the dead.
You idiot.
Venture capitalists are just throwing money at him.
What a stooge.
Jimi Hendrix, we've told you before, was the only guy to get a decent paycheck for playing at Woodstock.
Yep.
Because he insisted on it.
Yep.
Jimi Hendrix, by far, was paid the most for playing at Woodstock. They had to give him 18 grand. That was the most any band there got. What you don't hear a lot is the band that received the least amount of money.
Can I take a guess?
Sure.
Sha-na-na.
Nope.
I know John Sebastian did it for free.
But he wasn't paid.
Nope.
So this is among bands that were paid. A band called Quill received $375 to play Woodstock.
Yep, and I think the rate's still about the same.
Oh, yeah, it hasn't changed since the 70s. In the 70s, it was very lucrative to be a musician. And if you want to know how much they made, go ask a bar owner how much he'll pay a band now. Same thing as in 1970.
Yep.
Now, for the bar owner, that's great. They've managed costs.
For an upstart band?
Yep.
Problem.
But if you're in a band and you realize what people actually made playing music in 1970, quite a bit more. You know, we just finished our question of the week. We can expand on it. We have the results here of a study that determined the most hated Thanksgiving food in every state.
Oh, okay.
It is based on more than 50,000 hate tweets about various foods that people have posted this month. There are three states where turkey itself is the most hated Thanksgiving food.
That's got to be one of your Arkansas or Tennessees.
Maine.
Maine. Oh, they'll serve lobster.
Idaho. They'll serve potatoes.
Yep.
And Oregon, where they'll serve up a big heaping helping of social justice.
Yep. Do you have all 50 there?
The second most hated food is overall.
Yeah.
Cranberry sauce.
Well, there you go.
Number one pick in 17 states. Green bean casserole is despised in 12 states.
Please.
Stuffing is third with 9 states. Sweet potatoes are fourth with 6 states. And believe it or not, pumpkin pie, least popular in 3 states. What do you got against a pumpkin pie?
I'm not a big pumpkin. I'll take a pecan over the pumpkin.
Yeah, but you're
day.
Not anti-pumpkin.
I am.
You're militantly anti-pumpkin?
I'm not a big pumpkin pie fan. I have my reasons.
Is this a bifurcated opinion?
No, but I have my reasons.
And they will stay with you.
Yes, I won't tell you why.
In a moment. Visit Jason and Todd.
Jason and Todd at the Diamond District and Estero at Coconut Point are kicking off this holiday season with 3 spectacular days of diamond savings. This weekend only, view the largest selection of GIA loose certified diamonds priced competitively with the most aggressive places in the world. And take advantage of 3 years interest-free financing. You'll also save big on the largest selection of fashionable diamond jewelry. 5 carat total diamond weight bracelets, $29.99. 1 carat total diamond weight stud earrings, $8.99. If you're in the market for a diamond and you're thinking about where to find your best deal, it's not down in the islands, and it's not on the internet. It's with Jason and Todd at the Diamond District. Largest selection of GIA loose certified diamonds, lowest prices in the world, and 3 years interest-free financing. Your best diamond buying experience is during Diamond Days this weekend at the Diamond District. 3 years interest-free financing based on approved credit, and no other discounts or offers can be combined.
At the Diamond District.
And now, back to Haney's News on the Stan and Haney Show.
I am Bill O'Reilly with today's good news. Here's Southwest Florida's most respected anchorman, my colleague, Mark Haney.
Bill, over the weekend, a woman from Long Island named Diana Chong was heading off for what millennials call an early Friendsgiving dinner in Pennsylvania.
Friendsgiving. What?
That's like what we did that one year with the lady with the cats.
Oh, yeah. I'd call it another thing.
A real beauty.
A real beauty.
On her way out of town.
You know what we had for a side there? Yeah, we had turkey, we had stuffing, and cat fur.
Yep, fur balls. As many as you wanted.
Yeah, nonstop.
Oh, look at that rascal seeing what mama's cooking.
Yep, yum, yum, yum. Go ahead, put your paw on it, kitty.
I remember looking at you and just going, is it just me?
Yeah.
And you go, no.
Nope, no, it's not.
On her way out of town, Diana Chong stopped at her favorite bagel shop and left her keys there. I don't know what it is with people like you, Rob, that just don't keep track of their own friggin' keys.
Yep. The hell?
We got a couple around here.
Yeah,
like
that. Oh, a couple of real beauties.
Now, her car is a push-button job with a key fob, and her husband was inside the car with the engine running. So that's how they were able to drive off without the car keys. They drove 180 miles nonstop and arrived at their destination near Scranton, Pennsylvania.
Scranton, jeez.
Turned the car off. And at that point, it slowly dawned on me, couldn't find the damn keys anywhere. Well, of course, he had the keys. The car's been running. What the heck? And then they realized they were stranded in Scranton, Pennsylvania. And they both desperately needed to be back on Monday for work. Between the two of them, they put their big brains together and realized that she'd left the keys at the bagel shop.
Yeah.
So they called a bagel shop to request that the bagel shop overnight the keys to them on a Sunday.
That's pricey.
Yeah.
Should always keep a second key, too.
The manager explained to them that that's a no-go, folks. His name is Vincent Proschia. As she's blubbering on the phone,
yeah.
Vincent said, can you put your husband on the phone, please? I can't listen to this.
Yeah, please. My head's about to bust open.
Vince asked for the address where they were and said, hang tight. Vince ended up driving 7 hours round trip to Scranton, Pennsylvania because Diana forgot her keys.
Yep. And look at it, isn't that the whole trip they avoid New Jersey?
Oh, and a lot of toll savings.
Yep. Get confused on the exits.
Now, what a relief that is for Diana and her husband.
Sure is, Haney.
But what does that do to Vince?
Cuts into profits.
Well, at 7 hours of driving, 7 hours he'll never get back. He drove back the same night, was able to get a luxurious 2 hours of sleep, and had to open the bagel shop the next morning.
Yep.
When a reporter asked why he did it, there was a long exhale before Vince said, just the right thing to do. Just, yep. I got things to do.
And if you see the footage of this keychain that she had is just a mess of fobs, discount things that you put on your keychain, just keys to nothing. It's one of these giant bunch of keys. I think she had both sets of car keys on that one keychain.
You know what? Until Rob did it.
Yeah.
I'd never known a grown man to misplace the key to his car.
I know. Yep.
Now, we it's not that I wasn't aware of it. There was a guy named Jack Chaffee we used to call.
Yes.
Who was always losing his keys.
Yep. But we never saw it in person.
Nope.
Till then. And come to find out, there was no need for Rob to be all panicky. The key was in the car the whole time.
Yeah, I ended up blaming the cleaning guy for no reason.
Yep.
No, you did.
Made yourself a nice enemy there. I'm not his. That guy's a gypsy, too, isn't he? Put a hex on you.
Yep.
A porn site called Cam Soda would like to cover the cost of your entire Thanksgiving dinner.
That's nice of them.
You'd think so.
Yeah.
But I'm investigating this, and I think there's a quid pro quo involved.
Oh, really? I would figure they'd just do the right thing.
They will cover the cost of your entire Thanksgiving dinner if you live stream the entire event online. Their twisted users eat Thanksgiving dinner.
Told you there's a kink for everything.
Unbelievably, it would appear there are enough Thanksgiving fetishists.
Yeah.
To make it worth their while. They're willing to pay up to $250 towards your meal. All you have to do,
yep,
you know, set up a camera and live stream it. They also want to be their clients are so perverted.
How perverted are they?
That they want to make clear nothing remotely rated R or even PG-13 should happen. That's not their thing.
No, they just want to see you going in that bird and getting out them giblets. Reach in there and pull out that stuffing out of the crevice.
Now, for legal reasons,
yeah.
Even though they're insisting nothing R-rated or even PG-13,
sure.
But for legal reasons,
sure.
Everyone at the dinner must be over 18.
Yep. For legal purposes, no kids allowed for Thanksgiving. No Thanksgiving this year, kids.
Yeah. Sign up if you're that stupid.
Hello, I'm Bill Curtis of Investigative Reports. For our final story, here is Southwest Florida's most respected anchorman, Mark Haney.
Bill, there's a 20-year-old gentleman named Benjamin Gere from Lanesboro, Minnesota. And last Wednesday, his sweet 2019 Nissan Altima was impounded.
Oh, come on. 2019.
And they wouldn't let him have it back until he paid a ridiculous $300 towing fee.
Gets pricey, depending on mileage.
Well, Benjamin isn't going to take this sitting down. You can bet your sweet ass on that.
Hell no.
So last Sunday, he went to the auto shop where it was being stored to get it back.
Way to go.
He realized all he needed was a way to bust through the fence so he could get his sweet Nissan Altima out.
Please.
No problem. The answer presented itself immediately.
What was that?
Well, there was a Porsche parked right by his car in the lot, sitting there unlocked with the keys inside. Now, some might think, why not lift the Porsche and call it an upgrade?
Yeah.
No, 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 no. You're stupid. You're not smart like Benjamin. Benjamin used the Porsche as a battering ram to take down the fence.
Right on.
He immediately abandoned the damaged Porsche and drove his sweet Altima safely through the hole without a scratch.
Genius.
Now, there's simply no way to know how he thought this was all going to turn out.
Yeah.
But he was tracked down quickly and arrested on just a laundry list of charges. But I didn't steal the Porsche.
No, he didn't. Used it as a device.
And that's the news for today, Thursday, November
21st.
Double M-X-I-X.
I am Southwest Florida's most respected anchorman.
There he is, little Mikey Haney, telling it like it is.
Jason and Todd from the Diamond District bringing us news. We're going to take a break. We will be back. This is the Stan and Haney Show.
Just you. Stan and Haney, 96 K-Rock.
Hi, everybody. Stan and Haney, thank you for spending your afternoon with us. Greatly appreciated. Rob's show coming up at 6 o'clock. He will take you through your evening.
How many minutes would that turn into?
I think we got, I got 144. I need 155. So
I was right.
Right around, I need an extra 10 minutes.
I didn't even know how I figured that out, but good for me.
Yeah, I'm telling you. Everybody under the sun. There are certain people that love a math problem.
I don't.
I
love the idea of math and the power of math. I'm just no good at it.
Nope. Never have been. Ever since I was in, like, first grade.
I mean, I admire it.
Yep. It's a different part of your brain.
I don't have that part.
Neither do I. Non-existent.
So we probably did okay after all.
Yep, we're all right. Let's get a look at traffic for your drive home. No traffic is being... Trust me, there's no traffic. Our traffic report, here's how it is. Right up until about a half hour ago, we were getting reports. And then we go to check it again, and the report up there is from 8 o'clock this morning.
You know what? I want that gig.
Really?
It's a no-show job.
Yep. Yeah. It's being reported. Oh, yeah? Prove it.
It's a joke.
Yep. Let's laugh, shall we?
Time now for another Stan and Haney stand-up comedy classic. Classic comedy the way it used to be on 96 K-Rock.
I come from the very Italian house, the plastic furniture you couldn't sit on house. Did anybody have the museum house? Oh, towels you could never touch. China that no one's ever going to use. Everything in this house is for a special occasion that hasn't happened yet. My mother's waiting for the Pope to show up for dinner one night. Or Chachi, any prominent Italian. And when you eat over their house, there's a technique when you eat over the Italian mother's house. I tell my friends, I brief them, I go, look, when you're done with the meal, my mother's going to try to give you more, okay? Now listen carefully. If you want a tiny bit more, tell her no. Just look her right in the eyes. No, I'm full. Boof! A little bit more right there. Yeah, and if you want a lot more, okay, just a tiny bit more. Boom, another meal, just like that. You stay one step ahead of her. That's all. And if you don't want any more, you have to shoot her. Yeah, she'll take a bullet and keep coming. Oh, I warmed it up. Oh, no. Yeah, she won't stop.
Have yourselves a great evening. Lord willing, we're back here tomorrow at 2 o'clock. Big Friday show. We are the Stan and Haney Show, 96 K-Rock. And we leave you this afternoon with this laughter. We strive to at least give you a chuckle a day with the 4 o'clock fluffer brought to you by Firehouse Subs, Cape Coral, Fort Myers. Mark?
Home. Today, 8 American smoke out. Indeed. That in mind, we bring you today's list of the
top
reasons won't quit smoking.
You smoking.
Richards always has a smoke dangling out of his mouth, and the man is indestructible.
That's right.
Earnhardt!
All right, Earnhardt.
Your kids really want...
You need... Woo!
Thank you, darling.
You live in Los Angeles. So, in reality, inhaling tobacco smoke improves your air quality.
That's right.
First of all, let me thank Hillary Clinton.
Without a cigarette, wearing a leather jacket and leaning against a Harley just doesn't seem the same.
That's right.
Shut up, go!
Hey,
hey,
shut him down.
Go.
Put a bullhorn on him. Put a bullhorn. You know what? That's one of the greatest inventions ever made, a bullhorn.
I know it's one of your favorites.
I love it.
And I'm surprised, I guess, because impeachment and Prince Andrew are so important, it doesn't seem to be making news what is going on in Iran right now. Do you even know about it?
Nothing good, I tell you that right now. I read about Netanyahu today over in Israel.
Well, the international left.
Yeah.
There have been protests in Iraq and Lebanon against the Iranian regime.
Yeah.
They want them out. And the protests have now spread to, I think, 20 major cities in Iran itself.
Well, they'll be killed.
They are.
Yeah, they'll be killed.
Live ammo.
Yep.
But best of luck to him.
Yeah.
Top reasons for not wanting to quit smoking.
Yeah.
You're married, so your lifespan is, well, not such an issue.
Yeah.
So shame on you, Barack Obama.
The cat hanging from a tree on that poster in your office does not believe in quitters.
Oh my God.
You consider anything condemned by the Surgeon General to be fake news.
Yeah, of course.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
And finally, the very top reason you won't quit smoking.
Yes.
It calms you down.
Yeah.
That's important. Otherwise, you'd probably go all Miles Garrett on everyone. And that, my friends, is the 4 o'clock.
Oh, has left the building.
Blue skies.
Yeah.
Every day is a gift.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top five Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.